Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study. So why don't you guys help me welcome Chris Duarte.
Thanks, man. It is good to be with you guys tonight. It is fun. I was just telling my wife, I said, I like teaching at Sunday night. I just don't like what time it is. And then I was like, man, I'm like, am I getting that old to where I feel like almost 8 o'clock on a Sunday is time to go to sleep? I think that's where I'm at in life now. But it is good to be with you guys. But let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have to explore your word. And Lord, we thank you that we can gather together. And I thank you for this group who continues to come and be part of the Sunday nights. And thank you for the opportunity to be here, Lord. I pray that you speak through me, that you take over, Lord. And just thank you that we get to do this. Amen. So I have a story for you guys, and I honestly only have a few good stories. So if you've heard this one from me, I do apologize. I couldn't remember if I've taught it on a Sunday night or not. But you'll notice a lot of my stories are like backpacking and hiking related, because that's what I'm all about. Hence my Yosemite shirt that I'm wearing today. But I'm all about that. But last year, I went on this backpacking trip, and this time I decided I was going to invite some family along. I invited my parents, my mother-in-law, my brother-in-law, and some friends. And so I envisioned this great trip with my family and friends. And so I told my parents months in advance to prepare for this, to get in shape, to train. And my dad lost like 20 pounds for it. It was pretty cool. My mom lost like 10. They're all ready for it. And so I'm telling them like what to prepare for and how it's going to be. And I painted this picture that it was going to be like wonderful and amazing and experiencing the Lord's creation and all this stuff. And we get there, and probably within 20 minutes, I like realized this is not going to be that way. Because we started later than I wanted to, and my mom was moving a little slower than I wanted her to. And so I was like, whatever, it's going to be fine. And then my mom's back's bothering her like right off the bat. And I'm like, this is kind of not good. And so then the weather starts to get a little bad, some light drops of rain, which normally isn't really a terrible thing, but we were going to be like down in like a slot canyon type thing, which is extremely dangerous when there's rain, because that's how flash floods happen. And I'm telling you, we hit the water, so we're going to be on a slot canyon, this river flowing through this canyon. We hit the water, and I go over like some instructions on how to use this walking stick and take some steps, and so that way you like minimize your chance of slipping. And so I tell my mom this, and I look behind like 5 minutes later, and she's like just face first in this river, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like this is terrible. And then my mom, my poor mom, there's nothing that hurts like more than this. You're watching your mom like hobble along, like it's just it. Pains you as a son. You're like, oh, my poor mom. And to know that you dragged her into this, right? And so my mom's in the water, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. And the sky is getting dark, and it's raining harder. And I'm just like thinking, this whole thing just is not good. There isn't anything good about this. And my parents are moving too slow here. And not that I cared so much about their speed, but I just wanted to make it to the destination by nightfall and to not have to worry about flash floods. And so I start hauling. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to start moving. And I grab some of my parents' stuff, and I strap it to my backpack. And I had like way too much weight on there, but I start hauling as fast as I can. I get to the site before everybody else. I drop my stuff. I go after them. I carry some more of their stuff, and I get them back before nightfall. And we're setting up, rushing to set up these tents, and it's raining, and you know, I'm just tired. I just want to get all this stuff done, and everybody gets food, and then everybody goes to bed, and we're laying there in tents, and I'm laying there, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I loved the hike, but I missed it. I didn't get a chance to look around. I didn't even take any good photos. I was so focused on just getting there and so worried about anything bad happening that I missed it. And this particular hike that we were on, it's listed within the top 100 hikes by National Geographic, and I missed it. And I'm laying there at night, and I was like, man, like, wow, that hurts. Like, I was so worried and so focused on getting to this area that I missed it. Has that ever happened to you before, that you were so worried about one thing and that it just overwhelmed you, and you realized that you missed the goodness that was supposed to come out of that one thing? I think it happens to us a lot. We get so focused on things like big things in life, that we miss out on the good things that life is supposed to bring to us. We get so worried and so caught up that we missed it. How many times have you worked and stressed hard over a family dinner, knowing your family's coming over, and you're like, I just got to get this done, you know? And then it's almost like, I just got to get them out the door, and then I can call it a success. And then you look at it, and you're like, oh, but I missed it. I was so worried about it that I missed out on the connection between me and my family. I think we do this with all kinds of things. And what ends up happening is we rob ourselves of the joy, the happiness, the laughter, the encouragement that is designed to come out of life because we chose to stress about things rather than rest about what's approaching. When we stress over things rather than rest, we add unneeded feelings that actually draw us away from God. And they draw us away from what we should be benefiting. Tonight, I want to share with you what's been in my heart, because that's what I was told to do. I think it's my heart to yours, right? Is that the name of the study? So I wanted to share with you what's been on my heart, that we were designed to gain from things. We were designed to gain from events. We were designed to gain from chaos. We were designed to gain from life. But unfortunately, too many of us end up losing out on gaining because too many of us choose to stress rather than rest. And tonight, I want to take a look at the life of Jesus and to see how he rested and how he gained from resting rather than stressing and how he didn't lose. Here's what I want you to know tonight is that Jesus, he led a life centered around rest, not stress, with a result of faith and connection at its best. Dr. Seuss didn't write that. I did. Let me say it to you again. Jesus led a life centered around rest, not stress, with result of faith and connection at its best. If you guys have your Bibles, we're in Matthew chapter 6 tonight, verse 25, looking at a part of the Sermon on the Mount. I know that Sunday nights had this study, I believe, about a year ago, but we can revisit it, right? Yeah, because I think, how many of you guys have worried about something in the past week? I don't believe you. I think there's more people that have worried about something in the past week. How about the past month? You're like, man, I've worried about something. See, there we go. That's why this is applicable. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Again, this is Jesus, and he says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, could add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? I don't want to stop there. We'll finish the passage by the end of the night. But so Jesus, he's teaching to all these people, and the first thing that he says, therefore I say to you, he says, do not worry. Do not worry. And the thing about this thing that he says is that this is something that we are so quick to say to somebody else. Somebody approaches you with what they're dealing with, what's on their mind, what they've been going through, and you say two words to them. You say, don't worry. You're so quick to tell it to someone else. I know that I am. That's like the first thing I want to tell someone. It's almost like I want just them to be quiet. So I'll just tell them, hey, just don't worry. It's okay. It'll be all right. Let me pray for you. And I kind of walk away, right? That's kind of like our MO. That's our go-to. That's what we do. We tell people, don't worry. Last month, coming off this backpacking trail, and it's dark, and I'm so close to my car after hiking like 20 miles a day, so close to my car. So I'm excited. I'm like strolling along to my car, and this guy comes running up behind me. He's like, hey, wait, wait. I'm like, hey, what's going on? And he's like, hey, were you on this trail? I said, yeah, I was there. And he's like, did you happen to see two guys? I said, no, I didn't see anybody coming down, man. I said, why? What's going on? He said, my two friends were out there, and I haven't seen them. They're supposed to be back 3 or 4 hours ago. And I was like, oh, wow. I didn't see them. I'm sorry. I said, I'm sure they'll turn up. Don't worry, is what I tell him. And I don't worry. It's dark. And I mean, it's way into the dark. And this is what I tell him. And I assume that nothing happened to them because I checked the news the following day in case you're wondering. I didn't see anything. But this is what I tell this guy. And I say it to you because I think that that's what we do. Somebody comes to us with an issue, something that's pressing on their hearts. And we tell them, hey, don't worry. We remind them of what Jesus said. We're so quick to do that. Hey, don't worry. We want them to know that. But here is Jesus telling this crowd, telling you and I to not worry. The same things that we tell our friends when things are looking rough. He says, don't worry. Why would he tell this to them? Why was this such a pressing issue? It's because I think that we don't tell ourselves, don't worry. We're so quick to tell someone else, don't worry. But yet, when we tell us to not worry, that doesn't even cross our minds. We won't do that. And so here's Jesus, because he says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about your life. And I bring up this story of this guy who went missing on this backpacking trail, because a few years ago, one of my friends went missing on a backpacking trail, and it was just for like an hour. And when I found out he was lost, when he was missing, do you know what the first thing that I felt was?
Worry,
panic, anxiety. And that was with me until we found him. But yet I told that guy, don't worry, didn't I? But I don't tell myself that. That is furthest from my mind. And so I believe that Jesus is here telling these people this because we don't tell ourselves to not worry. The first thing that we do when something big is coming up, whether it's family coming over or whether your friend is lost, the first thing that you do is you worry, you panic. There's some anxiety that takes over. Worry's at the top of the list when things get rough for us. And we know it's true. Let's be honest with each other. This is how it is. We tell someone else, don't worry, but we don't tell ourselves that. And that's why Jesus said, do not worry about your life. Not your friend's life, but your life. That's what he says. And you got to think that while he was teaching this, you know there's people in the crowd, and you know that friend A over here, they're going through some stuff, and I'm like, look, yeah, Jesus said, don't worry. And I'm nudging, I'm like, look, I told you. But then Jesus says, about your life. And I got to look at my life, and I'm like, man, there are tons of times that I worry. It happens so often. This has been a problem for thousands of years, hasn't it? That when something approaches us, the first thing that we do is we worry. And it's like we want to give ourselves a pass to worry, a special pass to worry. We look at someone else and like, don't worry, it's going to be okay. But when it comes to me, yeah, I get a special pass to worry. I get to call in the National Guard. Like, this is a big deal. I get to freak out. My mother-in-law's coming over. I gotta panic. I gotta worry. Now, let me say this. My mother-in-law's awesome. I've never panicked or worried because she's coming over. That's my wife over there laughing. But I've never freaked out my mother-in-law coming over. But I know some of you have. But I'm not in that boat tonight. But all that to say is, when something big comes our way, we feel like we deserve a special pass to worry. We're allowed, but our friends are not. What's up with that? Why does that happen? Why does that happen? Because Jesus would say, here's the reason why we're not to do this. Because he says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Jesus is saying, why do you worry? Because it does nothing. It doesn't do anything to you. You know, think about the family vacation that's approaching. How many of you guys have been on a family vacation the past couple years? Want to see some? That's it? Get your families together and go on a vacation. But, so you're on the family, maybe you're on a vacation by yourself. Let's just go with that, okay? And you have a home, you have a place that you live. I think there's most people in this room. But, so you're there, and you're getting ready to go on vacation. Before you get on vacation, what do you do? You worry about all the things you have to take care of. I got to have this reservation. When I land at the airport, I got to make sure I get to the car pickup place at this time because I got to pick up the car, and then I got to drive to my destination. And then while you're sitting there on the beach trying to relax, the only thing you're thinking about is the person whose house is in your house. You're like, man, like, what if they forget to lock the door? What if they accidentally let the dog run out the door? What if they eat all my food? What if I come back and there's nothing to eat? And these are the things that race through your mind until you get home, and this was supposed to be a resting thing for you, wasn't it? Yet you chose to worry about all of these things. And this happens with everything that we do. That anxiety takes the place of rest every time. And Jesus, he said, don't worry about your life, what you are going to eat, what you're going to drink, how you will continue to get your fancy water. Yeah. Does your wife like fancy water there? Okay. All right. Jesus says, don't worry about these things. He brings up the birds of the air. Why? Because he says they don't go around and gather up a bunch of food and store it up because they don't know where tomorrow's meal's coming from. He says they don't do that. He says God takes care of them and their creation, within his creation. So he says, aren't you more valuable than them? Why are you worrying? Why are you stressing? Why are you freaking out? And the answer to the question is yes. You and I are more valuable than the birds of the air. We are more valuable than the animals because God didn't send a son down to die for them. He sent a son down to die for us. So yeah, we are more valuable. And he goes on to ask this question in verse 27. He says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? He's saying, through worry, which one of you can add a year to your life? If anything, your worrying is taking away from your life, isn't it? There are countless studies done on stress, and we find that it is harmful to your health, that it takes away from your life. We find that stress is miserable. You can't sleep. You eat too much. You can't get anything done, and you're missing out on life because of worry. And so Jesus says, why are you doing that? It's not adding anything to your life. He then goes on to talk to them about clothes, which is kind of strange, but he throws it in there. He says, what do you care about what you wear? What's the big deal with that? Why do you open your closet and you look at a few dozen articles of clothing and you say, I have nothing to wear. I don't know what I'm going to wear today. I'm not just speaking to the women because I fall into this. I'm going to tell you guys a story that's kind of embarrassing. So we're like going to get our engagement photos done. And I remember this day, I was so stressed. I don't know why, but I was so stressed. I had this gray shirt that I wanted to wear for some reason. And I go to iron this stupid gray shirt, and I'm terrible at ironing. And so somehow in the process, I get a bunch of steam burns all over my gray shirt. And the thing's ruined. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like I have nothing to wear. This is terrible. And I'm freaking out. I got so anxious and worried that I tore the shirt in half. Like I was so upset. And I remember calling the photographer and be like, yeah, we got to reschedule. Like, can't do this today. You know, like that's where our worry and anxiety drives us sometimes, doesn't it? Even over things like clothes, we freak out. And you look at it and you're like, that's so dumb. But I know that I'm not alone because Jesus talked about it. So there have been a lot of people who burned their shirts and tore them in half. I can't be the only one. But he goes on to even say, he brings up the lilies of the fields and the creation, the beauty of nature. And he says, you know, the creation doesn't freak out about how it's going to look. God's going to take care of that. And basically, you can't compare to the creation. Why are you trying so hard to look so good? You're up against what God created, the nature, the wilderness, right? God will provide. You see, Jesus said, you know, your worrying is not going to add anything to your life. And the reality is that your worrying doesn't make God provide faster or more. Your worry actually only robs you of things. And I want to talk about that, what we get robbed of. So if you look at verse 30, the end of 30, where he says, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. There's two things that we get robbed of here that I want to talk about right now. The first one is we get robbed of the opportunity for faith gained. Jesus makes a point to say that when we have little amounts of faith is the result of our worry. He says, oh, you of little faith. And that hurts because everybody that has raised their hand, and myself included, that has said in the past month, I have worried, Jesus would say, why? Oh, you of little faith. And that hurts. Because you and I want to proclaim, no, Jesus, I have complete faith in you. Like, I'm not worried. I was just kidding. It was just a joke. But no, the reality is that Jesus knows who he's talking to. The people who worry have little faith. And when we worry, like I said, we stress rather than rest, we rob ourselves of the opportunity for faith to grow. He said that not only is worrying not going to add anything to your life, but it's robbing you of faith because he's saying you have little faith due to your worry. When we worry, we don't give ourselves the chance to place our faith and trust in him. Why is that? Why does that happen? Let me tell you why. It's the same reason why you can't sleep at night. It's the same reason why you raid your fridge. It's the same reason why your blood pressure is elevated. It's the same reason why you can't think about anything else but that one problem. Here's why that happens. Because your mind is so consumed on that one thing that how can you have faith? Because you don't even think about the God side of things, but you think about the here and the now and this problem that is reigning and ruling in your life. So the first thing that we get robbed of is the opportunity for faith gained when we worry. The second thing that we get robbed of is this connection. This connection. And so Jesus, in verse 31, he said, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? See, you notice how he brings this up again, this do not worry thing? And he says in verse 32, for after all these things, the Gentiles seek. What he's saying here is he's saying, don't worry, because you're not any different than the Gentiles. If you're worrying, you're the same thing as a non-believer. What's the difference? Jesus would say that person does not have a connection to God the Father because they are worrying. They are the unbeliever. They are the Gentile. And when we worry as believers, we are equated with them, the one that has no connection to God the Father. So when we worry, we rob ourselves of that connection. And for Jesus, I got to tell you this, that this was a lifestyle thing for him. There's a reason why he was so adamant on telling people, do not worry. There's a reason for that. I'm going to get to that in just a second here, that not only was it a lifestyle thing, but that he had a plan for you guys. He had a plan for us who worries. The third thing that worry robs us of is the eternal and the good things. Because Jesus goes on to say, after he says, for after all these things in verse 32, the Gentiles seek, he says, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And he says in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Not only does stress and anxiety and worry rob us of faith and connection, but it also robs us of setting our minds on the eternal things, setting our minds that this isn't it, that there is a heaven. We rob ourselves of that thought when we freak out, when we worry about things. We rob ourselves of seeing the kingdom of God. When we freak out and we worry, that's certainly not us setting our eyes on the kingdom of God. You know what that's setting your eyes on? The kingdom of self. Because when you worry, you use statements like this. I am scared. I am worried. I am going through this. I can't have fun because these things are coming up in my life. I can't be myself because my mind is consumed. I can't go talk to them right now because I am a mess. All these I am statements is the kingdom of self. I can't, I won't, I am is the kingdom of self. And that drives us to making those statements. Worry drives us to making these statements. But faith drives us to making statements saying, God, you can. God, you can help me. God, come invade. Crying out to him, the kingdom of God is a complete opposite of the kingdom of self. Why do you think Jesus told the crowd to seek the kingdom of God? Because that's the only thing that works. If you're somebody who worries about things and you're like me, you get stressed out about stuff, the kingdom of God is the only solution to this. Not the kingdom of self, but the kingdom of God. This is what Jesus was all about. And here's how I know that. Like I told you a couple minutes ago that this was an important concept to Jesus. It was a lifestyle thing. He practiced this. This is a part of who he was choosing not to worry. I want to close with this, looking at this verse, Luke 21:37. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want, but I'll read it to you. It says, each day Jesus was teaching at the temple, and each evening he went out to spend the night on the hill called Mount of Olives. Now, this is really interesting. You know what that tells us? That rest, not stress, not anxiety, but rest was important to your Savior, Jesus. He chose this. Each day, Jesus was teaching at the temple, and each evening, he went out to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives. And do you know what he was doing there on the Mount of Olives? He was praying. He was making that connection. He wasn't getting robbed of the connection. Yet we find that he was praying and making sure that he had the connection, making calling out to God part of his lifestyle. It wasn't the kingdom of self, but the eternal kingdom. He set his mind on the things above. Now, what's interesting about this passage in Luke is that it's written within the same chapter where Jesus is giving a lot of instruction about the end times. And it's also written in the same chapter, just a few chapters leading up to his death, which indicates to us that if you kind of do the math based on the things that are going on or in the surrounding chapters, that this was actually a few days before he would be crucified. Now think about that for a second. A man on death row, knowing the day that he is going to die, knowing how he is going to die, he chooses to rest. I don't know about you, but if someone told me the day I was going to die and how I'm going to die, there's going to be a lot of sleepless nights. I am not resting. My mind will be consumed by these things. But here is our Savior, Jesus, and he's like choosing to rest in God, to make that connection. And you look at his life, you're like, dude, no, you should be stressing. Like, it's okay if you are. It's okay if this is how you feel. But no, there aren't any sleepless nights there. Rather, he chooses to find God the Father and say, I'm going to pray. I'm going to connect. I'm going to have faith. The complete opposite of everything that we feel and do. Jesus then goes, if you guys want to go back to your passage here in Matthew 6, 34, the last verse, he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. That was said by a man knowing the day he's going to die. Do not worry about tomorrow. It's kind of hard to wrap your mind around that, isn't it? How do you not worry about tomorrow knowing when and how you're going to die? Knowing that your disciples will betray you. Knowing that people will deny even knowing you. And that you're supposed to die for them. He says he's going to find rest rather than stress. It's just mind-blowing. And so, I have a few questions for you. What's our excuse? Why do we stress rather than rest? Why do we allow ourselves to be robbed of the things that life is designed to bring us? Because there isn't anything coming our way that compares to what was coming towards Jesus' way. Nothing compares to that. Yet we find that he chose to rest rather than stress, the complete opposite of us. So when we answer that question, we say, well, the reality is we have no excuse then to ignore the commands from Jesus where he says multiple times, do not worry. We have zero excuses for that. We have no excuse to not seek the eternal kingdom. We have no excuse to not seek God's kingdom. But yet we find that all the time we go to the kingdom of self. And it's convicting to know that a man is on death row, yet he could say, don't worry. And he goes and he prays to find rest. It's incredible. We have no excuse to choose stressing over than resting in God the Father. That's what we need to be aiming towards. So if you have some worry and anxiety in your life right now, look at his life. Look at Jesus' life. If he could do that knowing what was on his plate, we can certainly reach out to the same God the Father in the same way that he did and find rest in him rather than stress about the things that we're going through. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. God, help us, and myself included, to not get so stressed and worked up over things and to worry and to have sleepless nights. God, help us to look at the life of Jesus and realize that that's what we need to be aiming for. We need to be aiming for finding rest in you and not stress within ourselves. Lord, help us to have that faith in you. Help us to have the opportunity to have faith gained and not be robbed of connections, Lord, but to set our minds and our focus on the kingdom of you. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to teach here tonight, and thank you that we can to read your word in here, Lord. And just thank you for all the things you're doing here. Lord, we love you and we give you our lives. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds.